1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. There is so much in that verse. I'm not going to break it down. I'm not going to preach every part of it this morning. Partly because we don't have time, partly because that's several challenging messages right there. But if anyone knows about following the steps of Jesus, I'd say it's Peter. Jesus personally commanded Peter to follow him. We'll go back to that verse here in just a moment. It's in Matthew chapter 4. We'll go there. But Jesus went to Peter, and Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me, and I will make you the fishers of men." I'll make you a fisher of men. The Bible says that Peter immediately left everything, and he began following Jesus. I just titled this message, Follow His Steps. It could be titled Peter's Journey or something like that, but Follow His Steps because I want to challenge you to do the same thing. Go to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at a lot of verses from the Bible this morning. We don't have a whole lot of time. I may not be able to preach the whole message this morning. You might have to come back tonight to hear the end of it. But I want to challenge you to follow His steps like Peter followed His steps. Matthew 4:18. You know what I'll do? I'll preach the whole message this morning. We'll just do it fast because I don't want you to miss the end of it. It's a challenge I don't want you to miss. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now understand, they weren't just fishing because it was fun to fish. They weren't just recreational fishers. This was their job. This is their occupation. Whenever they were bored and they're looking for something to do, they didn't go fishing. That was work. They left fishing to do other things for fun. Fishing was the job for them. But here they were, they're fishing. Jesus comes up, he saith unto them, verse 19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Jesus came up, he commands Peter to follow him. And Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John, also in the same passage, they leave everything and they go and they follow Jesus. Hey, what a great idea. It wasn't just for first century fishermen. It's also for us today as well. And that's where I wanted to get with this message. So Jesus commanded Peter to follow him. But I want you to see that other people that wanted to follow Jesus, some of them didn't. Others who wanted to follow Jesus chose not to when they realized how hard it would be. Peter kept following Jesus. We know that he denied him. We'll get to that in just a moment. But he followed Jesus for his entire ministry. Others, though, for example, Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, there was a scribe. We don't have his name, but the Bible says, Matthew 8:19, a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." So now we've got another person. The first one was Peter. Jesus came and said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." The command was to follow him. Peter did. He followed Jesus. But this other man now, this scribe, a leader, a religious leader, he comes up to Jesus and he says, "I want to follow you. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." That's like when a church member comes up and says, "Pastor, we will never leave this church." Don't say that, because the people that say that, it's like the next week and they're, "Pastor, we found another church." And so this man, he comes to Jesus. He says, "I will never leave thee." And Jesus looks at him, Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, and saith unto him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." We don't hear anything else about him. I believe this man, the implication is he did not follow Jesus. Peter did. This scribe didn't. Peter followed Jesus into some pretty frightening situations. I want you to see one of them. It's, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Matthew 8, 23. We'll read two verses. We don't have time to get into the whole story because I'm trying to give you a lot of stories today so you can see the way Peter follows Jesus. It's amazing. So Matthew 8, 23. Peter follows Jesus. It's a terrible situation. The Bible says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Great, they're following him. Peter, being one of the disciples, follows Jesus onto this ship. And behold, Matthew 8, 24, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. We're going to preach a message about that later on in the year, about how Jesus could sleep through the storm. It's an amazing thing. But the Bible says, Jesus gets on the ship and he gets ready to go out in the sea. The disciples follow him onto that ship. While they're on the ship on the sea, the Bible says a great tempest arose in the sea. The ship is covered with the waves. The fishermen in the group, I just think, might have had a bad feeling about following Jesus into the storm. They were familiar with the sea. They didn't have the weather channel, but they had other ways of predicting the weather. And the weather channel's wrong half the time anyway, right? Well, maybe not half the time. I don't know. There's a percentage there. I have a feeling, you know, red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. They knew the sea, but they followed Jesus onto the ship anyway. And whether they knew they were going to be in a storm or not really was irrelevant. Once they were in the middle of the storm and they were afraid for their lives, they're in the ship. The Bible says the ship was covered with the waves. Now, there's a difference between being in a boat and having some choppy seas. But they're in a ship, and the Bible says the ship is covered with the waves. This is a terrifying situation, but Peter followed Jesus there. And we know the rest of the story. They go, they wake Jesus up. They said, "Don't you care that we're dying?" And Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." I would have been one of those ones with little faith. "We're dying. You're sleeping." How did he do that? How did he sleep through that storm? Well, we're going to preach about that. It's an awesome, awesome message. Jesus stands up. He calms the wind and the sea, and the disciples were like, "He has power over the wind, and he has power over the sea." But here's the point. Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Foxes have holes, and the birds have nests, but Jesus didn't have anywhere to lay his head. But Peter just kept on following him. He followed him to some frightening situations. There were times, though, where Peter wondered if following Jesus was ever going to be worth the sacrifice. But even at those times, he didn't quit. I want you to see this. It's in, let's see, this will be Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. And we've got Peter coming up to Jesus, and he's asking him, "Is this going to be worth it? I'm following you. I left everything." I don't know much about Peter's family. We do know that he was married. The Bible says Jesus healed his mother-in-law. We don't know if he had kids. We don't know anything else about his family. But we know he had a brother named Andrew. That's really all we know. But he left everything. He left his job. I don't believe the Bible doesn't say this, so I'm just guessing, but put with the rest of everything that Jesus teaches, I don't know that Peter left his wife for 3 years while he was following Jesus. I don't see that, but the Bible doesn't say. But he left everything, and he comes and he follows Jesus. But can you just imagine if that was you just wondering, I wonder if this is really going to be worth it? I mean, this is hard. And we're going to all these towns, we're healing people, we're seeing miracles, but this is hard. A lot of people don't even like us. Matthew 19, 27, this is right after Jesus' conversation with the rich young ruler, we'll put that in quotes, who chose his riches instead of following Jesus. It's right after that conversation. Then answered Peter, Matthew 19, 27, and said unto him, "Behold, look, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Can you see the question? Peter says, "Lord, look at us. We've left everything. We're following you. What do we get for it? What shall we have therefore?" Matthew 19, 28, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." So Peter asked Jesus, "This is hard. We left everything to follow you." Jesus says, "Well, here's what's going to happen." And after being encouraged by Jesus' answer, Peter just keeps following Jesus. But suddenly, John chapter 13, if you want to turn there, suddenly, after Peter had followed Jesus for 3 years, Jesus comes out and says, "You're not going to be able to follow me anymore." I mean, think about this. We'll see the text here in just a moment. Jesus came and said, "Peter, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." Peter leaves everything. He leaves his job. He leaves so much of what was normal in his life, and he follows Jesus through the good times, through the bad times. He follows Jesus when other people weren't following him. And then John chapter 13, Jesus says this, verse number 33. John 13, verse 33. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." Jesus says this, "You've been following me, but in a little while you're not going to be able to find me. I'm leaving and you can't come with me. Wait a minute. I left everything to follow you. And now you're saying that you're leaving and I can't go with you. And that's kind of the what is going through Peter's mind. And in verse 36, John 13, 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. I can just see Peter say, come on, Lord, where are you going? I mean, you've never been anywhere where I don't know where you've been. As I understand, Jesus never left that area just where he could walk during his whole lifetime. And I can just imagine Peter say, come on, where are you going? Tell me, where are you going? But Jesus didn't tell him where he was going. Jesus just told Peter that he wasn't going to be able to follow him now. And then he said this, but you can follow me again later. Well, Jesus, actually his exact words was, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. After I go where you can't follow me, then you can follow me. But Peter was determined to follow Jesus, even if it meant dying with him. I mean, he'd left everything and he'd followed Jesus. And now Jesus says, I'm going someplace. You can't follow me. Peter says, I am going to follow you. Verse 37, John 13, 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. There's another place in the scripture where the Bible says Peter rebuked Jesus. Right after that, Jesus says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. This may be that same type of a tone of voice. Jesus just said, you can't follow me now. And I could just hear Peter say, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake. As if Jesus didn't really know what he was talking about. Verse 38, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. The rooster will not crow until you've already denied me three times, Peter. I know you want to follow me, but you can't follow me right now. Peter had been rebuked by Jesus before. It wasn't the first time. And now Jesus rebukes him again. And Jesus told Peter that not only would he deny him, but he would deny him three times before the morning, before the rooster crows. But Peter was still determined to follow Jesus. Go back to Matthew 26, if you would. Matthew 26. Peter was one of the three disciples that Jesus takes with him to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John went to a lot of places where the other disciples didn't go to. But in this case, they've had the special, we would call it the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper. He had the Passover with his disciples. Judas has gone out. He's gone out to betray Jesus, and we know the rest of that story. In the meantime, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and they go to this garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a place where he liked to go. It was a quiet place. He'd go there to be alone. He'd go there to pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he went there specifically for the purpose to pray. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, we see that even though Peter was one of the three that followed Jesus, which was a good thing, he fell asleep instead of praying. Matthew 26, 40, the Bible says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter. Now, this is interesting. It wasn't just saith unto the disciples, but he saith unto Peter. Peter's the one that's been following. I mean, all the disciples have followed him, I understand. But Jesus specifically said, Peter, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And through the scriptures, you see the Bible specifically showing us where Peter is following Jesus. And Peter follows him to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter went there to pray. And he says to Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? If you read that later, you'll see that Jesus woke him up twice. The third time Jesus went to wake him up, he fell asleep three times. I can't really judge Peter, though. I've fallen asleep more than three times praying. You ever wake up with your Bible stuck to your face? I've done that. And what a terrible thing. Just understanding we're really not that much better than Peter was. He comes to him the third time, then he says, sleep on. And then Judas with the chief priests and the soldiers from Rome, they come and they arrest Jesus. When Jesus was arrested, notice this, every disciple that had followed him, deserted him, and ran away. Peter had been following him for so long. He followed him through the good times, through the bad times, onto ships in the middle of storms. But now Jesus has been betrayed by Judas, and Peter, with the other disciples, runs away. I want you to see that. It's in Matthew 26, verse 55. Matthew 26, 55. In that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, they're there to arrest him, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you preaching in the temple. You laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." All the disciples, we're talking about Peter. Peter had been following him. And now at his time of need, Peter runs away. The Bible says they forsook him and fled. Would you go to Luke 22 for a moment? I want you to see that Peter ran away like all the other disciples, but he didn't leave Jesus. He's still following him, albeit from a distance, but he's still following him. Even Peter ran away, but he continues following from a safe distance. Now, you might have done the same thing. I might have done the same thing. They're coming to arrest Jesus because of what he's teaching and preaching. You've been teaching and preaching the same thing. Because he said, go and heal and do this. You've been doing the same thing as him. You're just as guilty as he is in some of their eyes and for some of the accusations. Of course, you didn't say you were God. He did. But they're coming to arrest him. I would have run too. They've got Jesus, but the rest of us are safe. Let's get out of here. Regroup later or whatever, but get out of here. They forsook him. They fled. Luke 22:54. "Then took they him," talking about Jesus, "and led him and brought him into the high priest's house." Look at this next sentence. "And Peter followed afar off." I love it. He hasn't stopped following Jesus. Yes, he got scared. Yes, he fled. Yes, he ran away. But he's still following him. Peter followed afar off. He followed him from when he was a fisherman. He followed him even to the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. He followed him to all that. Followed him through the ship, followed him through the storms, and even now that he's being falsely accused and arrested, he's not as close, but he's still following him. Verse 54, Peter followed afar off. Luke 22, 55, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.'" That's two denials. "And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned," I think this is the only gospel where it says this, "the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he'd said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And look what happens. Peter went out and wept bitterly." Peter, the disciple who tried the hardest to follow Jesus, finally couldn't do it anymore. He had tried and failed. He's not mentioned again through the rest of the crucifixion story. John came back to the foot of the cross. Jesus' mother came back. She was at the foot of the cross so Jesus could say, "John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." But Peter wasn't there. Some other women watched the crucifixion from a distance. But Peter, far as we see, wasn't there. He had failed and he had quit. He had dedicated his life to follow Jesus. He had left everything to follow Jesus. And in the moment of decision, he failed. When he realized he failed, he went back to what he was doing before Jesus had called him. He went back to fishing. Can you feel the story? 3 years of your life wasted. You ever felt like you wasted your time? How'd you feel if you'd had followed Jesus when he said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men"? And it was a great journey. It was a scary journey sometimes, but he was following him. And then he got to the point where the moment of decision and he denies him. I just can't imagine the grief in his heart. He denied him the first time. He denied him the second time. He denied him the third time. And then the rooster crows and instantly he thinks, "Oh, I did it." And he looks towards Jesus who's being tried. Jesus looks at him, the Bible says. Can you imagine the disappointment in yourself? Can you imagine? Well, Peter must have been feeling, he must have thought, I'm not worthy to follow him. There's no way he would even want me to follow him. He leaves. He doesn't come back. He goes to fishing. But Jesus didn't forget about Peter. Jesus did go where Peter couldn't follow. Jesus went willingly to the cross. Jesus, the Bible says, went to hell and back to pay for our sins. Acts 2:31, the Bible says, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Jesus did go where Peter couldn't go. Jesus brought his body back to life after it had been dead for 3 days. And when his empty tomb was discovered, he had a message waiting for Peter. Go there. Mark chapter 16. He's been dead for 3 days. Early Sunday morning, the ladies come to the tomb. They were going to give him a proper burial. They were thinking, how are we going to roll that stone back? There's just no way we can roll it back. They get to the tomb. They see the stone has been rolled away. They look in the tomb. The tomb is empty. And look at the discussion that they have. A messenger is there waiting for them. Mark 16, verse 5. Mark 16, verse 5. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Well, hold on just a second. Time out. If we weren't looking for Peter's name in here, we would have just flew right past that. They come to the tomb. The empty tomb, the angel sitting there, and he says, he's not here, he's risen. Look where they laid him, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Jesus didn't forget about Peter. Peter stopped following Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. He'd gone back to being a fisherman. He'd gone back to exactly where he was before Jesus came and said, follow me. But Jesus didn't forget about Peter. But thinking that Jesus was dead, Peter stopped following him and went back fishing. John 21:3, the Bible says, Simon Peter saith unto them, go to John chapter 21 if you would. Simon Peter said unto them, saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entering into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now I want to remind you, going fishing for them might be different than going fishing for us. If I say, I go a fishing, I'm going to relax. When they say, I go a-fishing, they're going back to work. This following Jesus thing didn't work out. I followed him. He left. He said, I can't go where he's going. He's dead. There's no point in me following him anymore. John 21:4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Look at verse 15, John 21:15. So when they had dined, something happens here. I got to catch you up. They're out on the boat. They see somebody on the shore. The guy on the shore yells, have you caught anything? And they yell back, no, there's nothing out here tonight. They weren't fishing with hooks, okay? They're fishing with the net. They throw the whole net over and catch lots of fish, or two or three or whatever they'd catch. Can you just kind of see them wiggling coming up into the boat? And are you with me on this? Okay. Just want to make sure you're awake. We're almost done. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus says, well, throw your net on the other side of the boat. And Peter's thinking, I've heard that before. I've heard this before. They throw their net on the other side of the boat, and they pull it up, and there's so many fish. The Bible says 153 fish. Yeah, they took time to count them once they got back to the shore. They pull it up into the boat, and Peter says, that's Jesus. He jumps out. The Bible says he was naked, and I don't believe like naked, probably like you're thinking naked right now. But he wasn't dressed appropriately, all right? He jumps into the water. He puts his coat on him. He gets to the shore, and there's Jesus standing there. They eat this meal that Jesus has prepared. I love this. They get to the shore with all their fish. Jesus already has fish cooking on the fire, all right? I've never had fish cooked on a fire. I imagine I need to try that sometime. But they liked it. They're excited about it. They eat their meal. And then, verse 15, so when they dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, talking directly to Peter now. Wait, Peter just denied him. Peter had not only denied him, but he'd stopped following him. He'd gone back to his old life, not a bad life, but a life of not following him. He looks at Peter, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I imagine he's talking about the fish. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, John 21:17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And yes, you would have been grieved too. There's a reason he's asking me this. I denied him right in his worst moment, right before he was going to die. I denied him, and now he's asking me three times now if I love him. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. John 21:18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now Peter understood what that meant. That meant Jesus was telling him how he was going to die. And at that moment, Peter realized, I'm going to be crucified. They will stretch forth thy hands. And the reason I know that is because the very next word, verse 29, chapter 21, verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter knew that he was talking about how he was going to die. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Wait just a second. Follow me. Did you see that? Peter just denied Jesus. Jesus comes and said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And he asked him, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I love you. Jesus said, you will die like I died. You will be crucified. You're not going to die a natural death, Peter. You're going to be persecuted, and you are going to die. And then he says, follow me. Now, I don't know how you'd have taken that conversation. Peter might have said, I'm going back to fishing again. That's not what he did. We don't have really a whole lot between there. You've got Jesus goes back to heaven. You've got the book of Acts. Peter does some amazing things. He preaches Pentecost. But you don't see a whole lot of his inner struggles, his inner feelings. Then you get to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, and you've got this verse, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What did Peter mean when he wrote those words? I can just imagine what he was feeling. Jesus says, do you love me? He said, yes. And he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter answered three times, yes, I love you. And then Jesus said, follow me. And I could just imagine Peter thinking, I get another chance. He still wants me to follow him. I don't care what I have to suffer for him. Just look at what he did for me. Isn't that what 1 Peter 2:21 says? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What did Peter mean when he wrote those words? And we're done. Just like Jesus called me, he has called you to follow him. I believe that's what Peter's saying to us. Jesus called me, and for whereunto ye were called, he's called you to. Jesus suffered and died for me and for you. And I can imagine as Peter writes this, he's thinking, not only is Jesus our Savior and our sacrifice, but he's also our example. Then he finishes by saying, you know I followed him. Now it's your turn to follow his steps. This morning it's time for you to make a decision. Life is so much more than you may have realized. You can spend your life following Jesus, living the way he wants you to live, spending your life on what's important to him, or you can live for yourself. And that's the challenge. You might be making lots of money, but are you following Jesus? You might be popular and have lots of friends, but are you following Jesus? You might be living your dreams, but are you following Jesus? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Father, thank you for your sacrifice. You've called us to follow you, and sometimes we do okay at it, and sometimes we just really fail at it. Lord, I believe your desire is still for us to follow you. And you came to this earth and you died on the cross. You paid the price for our sins. And then you said, I want you to follow me. And Lord, whether it's through persecution, whether it's through challenges, whether it's through good times or bad times, Lord, I pray this morning, this very first Sunday of 2016, that we would make a decision to follow you.